Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little scared to hear what she has to say about Angela's laundry system. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? And don't get me started on that mess.
I heard enough of your thoughts and feelings during the episode. Therese was mumbling quite a bit under her breath about Angela's laundry system.
First of all, have baskets for dark and light. And if you have a lot of kids, I guess you can have baskets for colored laundry. So you don't have to go through dirty laundry before you do it. Step one. Step two, just organize yourself. And I know it's Angela, so this is not surprising, but watching this was just like, are you kidding me?
I think step one.
Laundry everywhere.
I think step one is crack the window while you're smoking your cigarettes. Step two would be, yes, let's organize this laundry into a logical system. But for those who haven't been listening to the podcast for too long, I live with a woman, my wife, who has implemented quite the laundry system. I left for work 1 week and I came back and my world was turned upside down. And I now have a step-by-step laundry system I have to follow.
I made you an instruction video.
Say no more.
And you apparently showed it to people, which is like something between the two of us.
Yeah, I was on business and I got a text and I thought, oh, I wonder what this video is going to be. What spicy video could this be while I'm away missing my wife? What are we going to get into? Is she talking dirty? What's she doing in this video? Open up the video, press play. Oh, it's our closet. And she has put post-it notes throughout the closet to delegate where certain clothing belongs.
She can study.
So I can study before I return home and try to do the laundry by myself.
I have a system for clean laundry. I have a system for dirty laundry. Because we don't wear a lot of color, unfortunately. I mean, not even. We don't love color. We have dark, we have light, and we have the sports basket that John needs to respect. Because last week, he disrespected the sports basket when I found his workout shirt in the regular laundry basket.
Yes, the sports basket is for gym clothing.
Yes. And you got to respect it.
You see what I'm dealing with here, guys?
I have to remind you here and there, but you get pretty good. Until last week, there was a little miss.
We all make mistakes. Yeah. I'll never disrespect the sports basket again.
Don't, because you're running out of passes.
Okay. Before we get into it, I just want to say the trailer, the preview, the video that is sweeping the nation is this teaser for the tell-all. Oh. No limits. No limits, no hotel rooms, no separation. These folks are going to spend a night at least together under one roof.
I can't believe that. Like every single time there is a tell-all with some of these OGs, TLC does something new. Like last time they were hanging out all at the same hotel. They had the after party. That was wild. And this time they're going to put all of these people, including Angela, under the same roof.
You know who's not there? At least who I didn't see there.
Well, the couple that disappeared from our screens.
Nicole and Mahmoud.
I wonder if Mahmoud is in jail.
No, I think we would know if he was, but it's so interesting. And of course, Sean has to address it. Well, it's obvious one of the couples is not with us, but the news came out of the alleged abuse weeks or months before the season started. They still chose to run several episodes with them, but now they're missing. So maybe Mahmood's like, I'm absolutely not showing up there and going to have to face the music. Maybe they were invited and he chose not to because he would get a lot of questions and accusations. So maybe he decided not to attend. But I watched this trailer 3 times in a row.
I did too. It's out of control. I don't know what TLC is going to do next time. If this is going to turn into, what is it, Big Brother. We're going to watch them for a week. But having Angela under the same roof as some of these people. What's her name? Pat and Thais.
Oh, yeah.
Thais having a beef with Lauren. I think a lot of people have beef with Lauren. I can see why, but wild.
It's wild. It seems like TLC learns every season and from different iterations because this is a little bit last resort now of like, let's have everyone live together. This is a little pillow talk. Let's get people together in the same house.
And you can only do it with these OGs. Like you can have a new season, well, the OG season, with new couples and putting them together because there will be no drama. Everyone is so nice and polite within limits. But you bring some of these people who've been on the show for years.
Right.
They're out of control. They know what we want. And they have no shame because they've done this multiple times. So
right. They've been chirping at each other on social media over the past years. And now we're going to get them into one house. And woo, I can't wait. Unfortunately, we do have to wait. Okay. We have a week to wait. But we got some good stuff in the meantime. Before we get into a recap of this episode, a little business. One of the great things that's happening, one of the great things we're watching right now is the new season of The Other Way.
Yes.
We're watching it and we're talking about it on Patreon and Supercast. We are talking about it on the Cousins Club level. Mm-hmm. And you can watch us talk about it video as well on the Family Affair level. So patreon.com/marriedtoreality, marriedtoreality.supercast.com. If you get on that Family Affair level, you'll also get a monthly bonus. Mm-hmm. Okay, we recently talked about The Man with 1,000 Kids.
Wild,
we won't get into that. If you want to hear our thoughts, join the Family Affair level on Patreon or Supercast. It's a good time on the Patreon. There's a fun chat feature. It's like an AOL chat room from the 90s.
Yeah, we love it. And you guys talk to each other, commenting on the episode. So it's like a little family.
It's a little family. It's a little AOL chat room minus the pervs. The only perverted person in that chat is Teresa. So if you want to get involved, join the Patreon or join the Supercast. There's just no chat feature over there. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram because that's another way to get in contact. You can message us on Instagram at MarriedToRealityPod.
Yeah, message us, talk to us, and you guys know the drill, you do it. We chat. You guys share news with us, which is great because I often miss it.
Yeah, share the news because it helps me with my bad days. So join us on Instagram and also make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down, smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hard as Elise's 6-month party.
Yeah, I think I saw an 8-piece band in the corner, flamethrowers.
That was a fun party for a baby.
It's quite the party.
She's still a freshie, 6 months old.
Not going to remember that party.
A bartender?
Give me a break.
I loved it.
Yeah, smash like it's as hot as that party. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, you guys know we are suckers for reviews. We love them so much. If you leave a 5-star review, we will read it on this podcast right here for the world to hear.
You have one?
I have one. I would love to read through
it. Let's hear it.
This one comes to us from our friend Blue Magic.
Hello, Blue Magic.
5 stars titled Hilarious Chemistry Forever.
Love it.
They write, John and Teresa, as one of your many loyal listeners, I am always kept amused, not just how the both of you sum up the episode, in this case, 90 Day Fiancé, it's how you both insert opinions etched in your different cultural upbringings. Hopefully I speak for all of your listeners, but keep up the good work and hilarious chemistry.
I love that. What a beautiful review.
Thank you, Blue Magic. Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful. I love that.
If you will. You see what I did there?
Yeah, you tried.
I try once in a while to be hilarious. Sometimes
beautiful.
It works.
I love all the love. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Blue Magic. If you haven't left a review, be like Blue Magic. Leave a review.
Yeah,
we'll read it on this podcast.
Spread the love.
All right. Before we get into the meat of this season finale, What do you say a little 90 day, by the way?
Let's hear it.
All right. By the way, number one, Miona of Jabrine Miona. She's moving on pretty quickly.
I mean, she's been moving on for a while.
We talked about how she has a new boyfriend a couple episodes ago. Now she's announced that two of them bought a house.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw this.
I told you about this.
You told me about this.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, there's a lot going on, Theresa. Yeah, they bought a home. She posted on Instagram a couple of videos. She posted one video and she captioned it, "A few days before our birthday, we gave ourselves the only gift we wanted. At 25 and 27, we officially became California homeowners."
Good luck with the taxes.
Good luck with the taxes. Good luck with the interest rates on the mortgages.
Ugh, it's crazy right now.
Good luck with everything. You know, I saw, you could see a piece of this house in the video. Looks very nice.
I guess her ponytails are selling.
I know. Because in the caption, she also doesn't waste a minute, doesn't waste a moment to promote. She posted all that. Oh, it's her dream come true, blah, blah, blah. And then she wrote, "In this video, I'm wearing this ponytail."
It's interesting because how many people buy it? And let's say you do buy it, right? How often do you buy it? Do you buy it once or twice? Do you buy two? Like, I don't know. I don't wear wigs or extensions. I guess I've never been into it. But let's say if I wanted to, I would get like one or two, right?
No, I think the beauty of it is that you can get all sorts of them. Like, there's different, I think, braidings and colors and...
Correct, but let's say you get six of them, then, okay, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's not necessarily the most repetitive purchase. It's not a consumable product, but I think it seems to be doing well. I don't know how else she's making money.
This house, I don't know.
We were talking, I think it was last week, like the average home in California is $800,000. It's absurd. I don't know what her boyfriend does, but I also think it's a terrible idea that they're purchasing a home together.
As a boyfriend and girlfriend.
Just as a couple, you guys are purchasing this home. You guys are not going to last, I don't think.
You don't know that. Hopefully one of them purchased it, like have the majority.
I don't think that's how that works. I think you're both on the mortgage and then you'd both be responsible. I don't know. I don't think it's the best idea, but you two do you. That's quite the American dream Miona is living. She went from living with Jabri and his parents to owning a beautiful home in California.
Good for her.
Good for her. All right. By the way, number two.
Let's hear it.
And I'm filing this one under not sure what to make of this, not totally sure if I believe it, not sure how legit it is, but let's report it because it's a story sweeping the 90-day community. Stepanka has been going on TikTok recently and talking about how she's been involved in this online relationship with a U.S. senator.
I've heard it, so thank you guys. So a bunch of you send it to us, so thank you, thank you.
Yeah, there's been murmurs of it over the past several weeks, months, but now it's kind of come to a head. So she's on TikTok. She's talking about it. She says, "I've been going on these online dates with this senator. This senator would pay to watch me eat." And all was well and good. She was making the cash. She was going on these online dates. Until I guess she started to criticize some of his views and policies. Okay. That's when he blocked her, allegedly.
Do we know who it is?
No, and that's my point. And that's why this whole thing bothers me and I don't totally buy it. Because she's making this huge deal of it. She's saying the final straw, this was a very recent video, the final straw was when she was going to the Olive Garden. She was driving to the Olive Garden. And she spotted a black SUV tailing her.
Okay.
So she did some fancy maneuvering and shook the tail. I don't know. I don't know if she ever made it to the Never Ending Breadsticks or not. But on the way home, she spotted the black SUV again in the neighborhood. And she's like, "What the heck? This is freaking me out." Because apparently this senator has threatened to deport some of her family members and has made all these claims. And so now she's like, "You know what? I'm done talking about the senator. I've had news organizations come and try to get me to speak about it, but I just wanted to expose him on TikTok." And it's like, you're not exposing him.
Yeah.
You're not saying his name. So what good are you doing? There's 100 senators in the country. Yeah. You're not exposing anyone or doing anyone any good or stopping anyone from this type of behavior because you're not naming them.
Yeah, I think that would be really bad if she did.
It would be bad, but also, why even go this far?
I don't know. Maybe it seems like publicity?
Right. It seems like a clout thing, which is why I file it under not totally sure what to make of it, not sure if I believe it. Like, I do believe that she probably got into a relationship with an online senator.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares, right? That happens all the time. The politicians are people too. Is this senator tailing her to the Olive Garden and whatnot? Like,
not him. Probably, maybe he paid someone. But how much did he make?
Decent money.
I guess.
I just don't understand the point of that senator getting that involved and trying to shake her down or say, "I'm going to deport your family." It's like, huh? Doesn't make any sense to me. But it's sweeping the 90-day world, Teresa. So
yeah, I saw that.
Figured we'd talk.
Have
about
you ever
it.
Been to an Olive Garden?
Ashamed to admit, yes, once.
Me too. It wasn't good.
No, of course not. It's the Italian Applebee's.
Yeah. Like, I love Italian food, don't get me wrong. But an Olive Garden? I mean, maybe the bread, I guess.
Yeah. I'd rather
is
go
it
to
at least, is the bread free?
It's never ending. So I think so. Bottomless breadsticks or whatever they call it.
I mean, I can see that then.
Yeah. You want to indulge? It's not about quality. It's about quantity at places like that.
Yeah, I went to the one in Times Square once.
Ooh.
I felt like this is the best thing ever.
Because there's no good Italian restaurants in New York. So.
That was my first couple of months in New York. I used to keep coming back to Times Square because that was the first stop. And I found it amazing until I started exploring New York.
All right. Well, yeah, I wouldn't recommend an Olive Garden, but hey, there's worse places you could eat, I guess.
True.
All right. That's 90 Day, by the way. What do you say we get into it? The reason we're here, Teresa. Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
Question mark.
Season 8, episode 19 seems like the finale.
Yeah, I think this was the last episode before the finale.
Definitely. Yeah, we have the tell-all no limits coming up.
And there was only one happy ending.
For this season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
only
wasn't.
One happy ending, and the Thais and Patrick and John, they all, that was a beautiful ending to their story. Everyone else is just a mess.
Yeah, as we like it.
Mm-hmm.
As we like it. Let's start with one of the biggest messes in the 90 Day franchise, really.
It's Angela and
Michael.
Talk about a kitchen nightmare.
Oh my God.
Run a Swiffer through that place, Angela.
You just toss everything and
burn it to the ground.
Burn it to the ground.
Collect the insurance, Angela, because there's no turning back from a nest like that.
What is the fairy tale when the stepmother mixes the food that then the girl has to pick out?
Not Cinderella.
Yes.
Cinderella?
Yes. Okay. Cinderella. This was like Michael was the Cinderella because Angela brought the dirty laundry and just mixed it together because it was mixed together and said,
on the kitchen floor, mind you.
Now you have to pick out the dark and the light. It's like, again, why don't you have, and because she does have two bins.
Yeah.
They're just all mixed in.
Yeah.
Just label them and have your kids and Scala and yourself just use the system.
It was, I just got the heebie-jeebies. I could feel like the bugs crawling on me when I watched just that nasty kitchen.
Yeah.
Mixed with the laundry system.
Yeah,
was.
So Angela's teaching Michael how to do laundry / some Georgia slang like mash that button.
Yeah, push this, mash that, push this, and don't measure. Don't measure. That's for people who don't know what they're doing. It's like, that's Michael doesn't know what he's doing. That's why you're teaching him. So that whole sentence made zero sense.
Also, if you measure, that's how you can stay economic.
True.
Because he tells you.
True.
So, yeah, if you have three shirts in and you don't have to put a lot of detergent, it's like, yeah, measure.
Yeah. It made me long for the Alexi laundry scene because.
Well, that was much better than this mess.
Woo. Yeah, that was somebody who knew what they were doing.
But One thing we didn't know, at least myself, hence the music in a little bit, it's Christmas.
I knew it was getting close because Michael was hanging the Christmas lights.
True.
In a previous episode, but now it is. It's Christmas Eve.
And I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Just hearing the music, I'm like, is it December yet? Please?
Yeah. This Christmas feast did not feel right to me. I mean,
no.
Break out the finest plastic utensils and gather around the table. It's story time with Michael.
Again, I don't want to be, you know, I am judgmental. I don't want to judge that much. They're a bunch of kids. But when me growing up, Christmas dinner was when my parents took out the fancy silverware, the actual silverware, the fancy plates that we only use for special occasions. They were beautiful. I always loved them so much. They were all like porcelain, so they had to be hand washed. It was just so beautiful and special. I had to do the hand washing, but anyways.
Yeah, we can judge this. I mean, the Family Dollar sells real plates too. It's probably more expensive to use plastic forks every time you eat.
Plus, I'm sustainable. I am all for sustainability. This is not sustainable.
Yeah, this was not great, but it made me happy actually because after seeing how the laundry was done, I can't imagine how the dishes were done. So the plasticware is probably the most sanitary.
Yeah. And no one cooked. Like, they picked up food, which I get it. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
But Angela, didn't you want to cook for your husband, his first American meal home cook?
And season it with a little ash from your cigarette. Let's watch Michael taste ham for the first time. Kids, gather around. We're going to watch Michael taste ham.
Poor Michael. She keeps forcing him eating all this food, and he's not loving it.
No.
Which, I'll give you this, like, I do love burgers,
okay.
I do love French fries, but then I love cuisines, like, I love Mexican food, I love Italian food, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like mac and cheese necessarily, I don't like, like, that whole piece of ham, like, eh. Like, there are certain things that I feel Michael.
Sure, especially who knows where this ham came from.
Plus, like, but when someone says American food, what's American food? A burger?
Burgers, and dogs.
Okay, I love a good dog, although the Czech dogs are a little better. I'm sorry, America. But okay, burgers, dogs, sure. I don't understand mac and cheese.
Okay.
That thing is just creeps me out. Unless it's like a fancy one with like a little bit of, what do you call that? Green cheese.
Blue cheese?
Yeah, a little bit of blue cheese. Like I've had it once at like a fancy restaurant for work. That was delish.
No, Kraft macaroni and cheese is the only mac and cheese you need.
No, I would never eat that thing.
Oh, I grew up on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely fucking not.
Just cover me in that yellow powder.
Absolutely. I don't. That just creeps me out. Same thing that Doritos creep me out. Or those chips with a cheetah on it. They're like puffy.
Cheetos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's orange.
Yeah.
It must be. I don't get it.
That's who Michael was talking to on those apps. Cheeto. Chester with Cheeto.
I mean, give me good old Lace salty chips.
I hate potato chips so much.
I love salty ones. Like, that's it. Like, salty potato chips. Don't give it any flavor.
I could do Cape Cod potato chips. But
yeah, but salty ones.
Yeah, the salty ones.
Yeah.
I don't need oil and vinegar or barbecue.
No, and then you start adding funny powder on it and then your hands just get orange. I don't get it. So I feel Michael on this whole feast that he's like, oh, this is no bueno.
Yeah. And then London's like, Michael, tell us, what was Christmas like in Nigeria? Like, tell us your stories from the war, the way this little girl, tell us what Christmas was like. And apparently it was chicken and rice. They kill the chicken. Then they roast it. They make a chicken sauce. And all the kids at the table were like dry heaving listening to this story. They couldn't believe that this was what Christmas was like. It sounds pretty normal to me.
Yeah.
In Czech, you guys swap the chicken out for a fish. You guys kill fish from your bathtub and then you make dinner from it. You cook it and you eat it.
Beautiful. And a Czech potato salad. And for those who don't love the carb, we do schnitzels like John.
Love it. Michael, what's your favorite part of America? Tell us what your favorite part is about being here in America. And Michael with the diplomatic answer.
Ooh.
Very smart. Very smart answer. Well, the most important thing is being here with my family and my wife.
Good for you, Michael.
Good answer. Good answer. Like Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer. Number one answer on the board. Number two, green card.
Play that role, Michael. Play that role.
Well, how come you haven't taken any pictures since if you love it so much and being here with us, how come you haven't taken any pictures, Michael?
Well, Mima broke my phone. Well, that's a surprise to Scala because Angela didn't tell her the story. Scala wants to know.
Angela's like the Hulk Hogan of 90 Day Fiance, just like snapping to a cell phone. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, Angela did not want Scala to know about PhoneGate.
No. So once the kids go to bed, Scala wants to know the story. So Angela spills the beans about a phone, about Paradise Man.
He was an ad man.
And Skylar's like, you clearly don't trust him. Maybe you should hire a PI. Hasn't she hired a PI in the past?
I am picturing someone driving around in a tiny car who was a PI. I don't know. No, I think I'm thinking of Rebecca from Georgia.
Rebecca was a PI, but someone did hire a PI on 90 Day.
Angela went to... not a PI, but like an IT investigator.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So, yeah, Skyla talks her into really doing the real thing this time. But Angela's like, well, okay. But I want a couple of weeks just to see if Michael can get his act together. And if not, then we'll look into it. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if he does anything shady, we'll look into it.
And this is where we see Angela smoking inside, which I'm like... Bro, you have a house. Step outside. You live in Georgia. Even in December, it's not that cold. Put a sweater on. It's not Michigan that is minus 30 that you really cannot smoke outside. I hate it.
But you don't just have a house. You have a house?
Full of kids.
Full of children.
Yeah.
Who are just inhaling your secondhand smoke. It's so bad.
So bad. Literally, it's just step outside with Scala. I used to smoke. You guys probably know it. I mentioned it. I used to love stepping outside from the bar, enjoying a cigarette in the fresh air.
Yeah.
Good times.
Great. 2 weeks after Christmas. Why did we skip Christmas Day? That's my question. We saw Christmas Eve, and then we just skipped Christmas Day.
They probably give each other gifts, or maybe they wanted to be with the kids, no filming.
Don't you want to see what Angela gives on Christmas? 2 liter Coke for you, a 2 liter Coke for you. You were extra good this year. Here's a pack of menthols. Like, what is Angela giving these children?
Speaking of Coke, all these kids were just drinking Coke with the Christmas dinner with peeled off labels.
Oh, yeah? They took off. They didn't want to.
I remember when I was a kid, I could sip on Coke it was like a special time. Like, when we went to McDonald's twice a year and I got a Happy Meal, so I was allowed to have a Coke.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to pretend like I'm Jack LaLanne. We had Coke at the dinner table, I think, nightly.
We did have Coca-Cola as the Czech version, but not often. I was not allowed. Like, I remember my parents said only once in a while because it had caffeine.
Yeah.
Like, once I got older, then my parents were kind of like, sure, if you want to. But I didn't grow up with it. Also because it was pricier.
Yeah.
It's imported.
We definitely drank soda with dinner. But we were also eating mac and cheese, so... Kraft.
Well, I grew up differently. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. So, okay, they're on their way to see a private investigator. They told Michael we're going shopping, but they're actually going to the China buffet to meet their PI, which makes me really scratch my head. Why Todd doesn't have an office and does he rent a table at the China buffet? Like, why are they meeting at the China buffet?
Maybe Angela was hungry, wanted some Chinese food. I don't know.
You don't go on a first date to the China buffet. Why are you meeting your private investigator at the China buffet?
I don't know, but I do love Chinese food.
No one is debating that. No one is debating that. But if your lawyer was like, let's meet at a China buffet, you'd be like, well, I'm probably going to look for a new lawyer. If your PI is like, let's meet at a China buffet.
Maybe they wanted to play it cool, like, in case someone's watching us.
At the office?
I don't know. Or maybe Todd did not want to have his office on TV.
I think Todd was just hungry, maybe. He's like, let's kill two birds with one stone, meet at the China buffet. And we'll talk and we'll eat.
So they did.
We should say, though, the reason Angela got suspicious was that she was asking Michael, can I see your phone? And like 10 minutes went by. She walked over and he was crouched down hiding, doing something on his phone.
Classic Michael.
And when Angela was like, Michael, he jumped and threw his phone and got nervous. And so she thought something was up.
Yeah, well, so when they meet Todd, the first thing Angela tells him, instead of, oh, hi, nice to meet you. My name is Angela. Are you handsome?
Of course. All she does is hit on every guy she comes in contact with.
Oh, yeah. They told Michael that they're going shopping, which they will be, so they didn't really lie.
I love how that's their biggest concern. So, well, they didn't, like, totally lie. It's like, Angela, really? Now you care?
But Angela feels like Michael's acting shady, so it's time.
Well, we learn a little bit more about the Paradise Men chat. Mm-hmm. It's not so innocent as we were led to believe, because Angela says, well, I found that he was talking to a girl named Cheetah, which is news to us. We didn't know about Cheetah.
Cheetah, no.
But once a cheetah, always a cheetah. And apparently Michael was talking to a cheetah.
Yes. And when Angela told him about it, he said that he was helping Cheetah and her husband to get a visa. Uh-huh. Which Angela's like, how was he helping anyone? He couldn't even get his own visa, right. Which is a great point.
Great answer.
Yeah. If he was in the U.S. already for years and really wanted to help others, maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But yeah,
that becomes his little side hustle. Yeah. Like, okay, I've done it. You guys can too.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. He hasn't achieved this. That's like you trying to teach someone how to drive and you don't know how to drive yourself. Like, yeah, you don't have a license. How are you teaching people how to drive?
This is what I found very shady. Michael is searching a life insurance policy for 50 plus.
Oh, he's trying to kill you, mama.
He's trying something. Or he feels like she's going to die soon because of her diet and the smoking
indoors,
and zero water. So he's like, I might as well get something out of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going to end up being a grandpa with 15 grandkids and no cash.
I don't think Michael needs to do anything to end Angela's life. I think, yes, the smoking indoors and the constant Coca-Cola.
She's so dry.
Well, mixing a water, Angela. But Todd's like, all right, well, we can look into this. Give me all of Michael's aliases. I'm going to hit the dark web. I'm going to hit the gray web. All the webs. We're going to search if it was ever on the internet. We're going to find it. Now, excuse me while I finish this wonton soup.
Yes. And from the previews, Sean's going to ask Angela, did the PI found something? And I'm sure he did. Yeah, because Angela and Michael don't look in love on the tell-all.
No, Michael looks like he's living his best life in Houston right now, according
to... Or in the A now. I mean, he's all over.
Oh, is Michael on the move?
But here's the thing. And I said it before. He came here with a green card because they were married already. It's not like he got a visa, got here and had to apply for the green card. They were married for 2+ years, which means he automatically got his green card.
Not a spousal visa?
No.
Hmm. All right. Well,
I'm pretty sure because there is a limit on it. It took them so long that it was over 2 years. So they were still married.
Yeah.
So he got his green card.
All right. Well, let's see what we learn next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about Sophie and Rob, because I hope this breakup sticks. I hope this, they have no business getting back together.
This is high school drama, and I actually feel bad for Rob because he did the right thing. And I beg him up on the fact that she left him multiple times. She's living with Kay.
Yeah. This all boils down to Sophie feeling like, I should be the one to break up with you. You don't deserve to break up with me. I want to break up with you. And I can't come to terms with the fact that you actually had the final say. So that's all this is Sophie trying to lure Rob back so that they can get back together and then she can end it. Because she literally says, they just had the blow up and Rob leaves and Sophie is trying to get him back so they can talk. And he comes back and she literally goes, I should have left you. I should have left you, but I'm willing to try. It's like, If you feel like you should have left him, then be happy that he did you the favor and be done with it.
Yeah. And so she goes off on him and she's like, so you don't want to try? Then go. Bye. Bye. So Rob leaves again. And then she gets this anxiety attack, starts crying. Kate is there for her and she's mad once again, which is like, why are you mad? Like, I get it, you're friends, but be happy. They broke up or he did it. Like, that's it. That's the end of it. That's what you wanted, Kay.
Yeah, Kay's, I don't know where Kay is coming from because, yeah, she's like playing both sides. She's mad that they're not together, but then she's happy that they're not together.
Yeah, but Sophie's like, oh my gosh, anxiety attack. She runs after Rob when it's pouring outside, gets in his car, and we only hear the audio.
Yeah, she's hyperventilating, just wanting to go back inside because she needs water. She has a throat infection from the stress, and they go back inside. And the word she uses kind of says a lot to me because she says, Rob dumped me. And it's like, no, he didn't. He presented divorce as an option, but like, you guys aren't high schoolers. You guys aren't boyfriend or girl. He didn't dump you.
And again, this is not the first. The second time you packed up, left, moved in with your friend, going to nightclubs, living your best life.
Yeah.
And of course he wants to move. What is he supposed to do?
You moved out and are living with Kay.
Yeah. He's sitting home alone and he's supposed to be married. Like, marriage is serious, you guys. I'm sure all of you who are married and who are happily married back me up on this, that you don't do shit like this when you're married. When you're not happily married, then yes, you probably pack up and leave or you divorce. You do what you gotta do. She left and he picked twice and he picked up on it and he's tired of just waiting for her. What do you do? Because you're in this gray area of you're married, but you're alone.
Here's what it boils down to, I think. She has no intention of being with Rob long term. That's why she doesn't respect the relationship. That's why she moved out to live with Kay. But she doesn't want a divorce because she wants her green card. Once she gets her green card, then she can officially say, see you later. But until then, she's going to stay with Kay because she doesn't want to be with Rob. She doesn't care about Rob. She doesn't want to be married to him. She just wants the green card. And it's just easier for her to ride it out until she gets it if she lives with Kay.
Or she loves when someone's after her. She loves that, oh, he really wants me. He's trying to get me back. Like, there are people who love drama like that.
But then go back. She's gone back for like one night and then ran back. Yeah. She's stayed with Kay for months because she's just trying to ride it out till she gets the green card.
So like, she freaks out again and asks him to leave once again. And Rob is like, oh my God. So he leaves. She throws the squishy at him.
The squishmallow?
Whatever that is. And then she's like, oh, hell no. So she gets it back.
Actually, I want the squishmallow.
And Kay is pissed even more. Yeah. I was like, why are you pissed? Because she's like, I'll take care of Sophie now.
Are we sure Rob isn't a female? I'm more of a man than Rob is. And then I feel like Sophie is Kay's prison bitch. Like, it feels like they're sharing a cell and Kay has made Sophie her bitch. She's like, you're my girlfriend now. Like, the whole thing just doesn't check out to me.
Well, I also feel a little bad for Kay because she gets mixed up in this. All of a sudden, you have a roommate you didn't plan on having. That's your apartment. I'm pretty sure you pay for the apartment, for everything. And you have this drama coming in and out.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be friends with someone, meet them at a club, hang out. The other friend is when this dramatic friend lives with you.
Yeah, I don't think Kay's that innocent at all. I think she's injected herself and made herself a part of this story.
I think she did, but I don't think she did it on purpose. And I think what happens with Claire or what happened with Claire, I think she's regretting to ever get mixed up with this.
Well, that's for sure. So apparently Rob and Sophie are done. That seems to be the end of them.
Aren't they supposed to be in the last resort? Wasn't that the rumor?
Ooh.
I forgot who was supposed to be on it.
You may be right, and this teased that up perfectly.
Yeah.
But I can't with these yo-yos, these back-and-forth couples. We're together, we're separated, we're together, we're separated. Like, I'm not interested in you. I'm interested in love stories and watching people fight for it if they want to make it work. But if you're together and you're not, then you're together and you're not, I don't care. Like, you figure it out and get back to me and let me know what you guys, how you guys end up.
I love the drama, but this is kind of redundant. Like,
yeah.
It's like snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
Do you know how much, what a toll three vasectomies takes on a man? It's true. It's like, you know what the toll three threats of divorce takes on a relationship?
A lot.
Yeah. All right. I think this is a good place to take a break. We will tell you about our sponsors for this episode, and we'll be back in a second. And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing better than David and Lisa, I would say.
Yes. So we pick up where we left off.
Doing better than Emily and Kobe, I would say.
Because David feels like they might be telling them that they're basically, we looked for a house, we couldn't find anything, so we're staying with you.
Yeah, I would think that too if I were you, David. Because fool me once, shame on me. Fool me three times. No, strike that, reverse it. But you get what I'm saying.
Well, Lisa feels like they need to move out. They need to move out. And Kobe keeps agreeing with Lisa and David because he's like, I promise you we're not having a third baby in your house. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep that promise.
I respect that a lot. And I believe Kobe. And he even says, like, we'll rent if we have to. If we can't find the perfect house to buy, we'll rent.
Which Emily's like, we're not renting. We lived here to save up money for a house. We're not going to blow it on the rent, which I get that too. But here's why I'm taking a little bit of Emily's side. They're looking for their home, right? She says, I want to love it because we're going to buy it, right?
Yeah.
David says, it's a starter home. Just get a home, get out of here, and in the future get a new one. Yeah. I think she's looking at it as, I want to find a home I love, which I understand. If you're going to spend a lot of money on something, let's be honest, your home is probably the most expensive thing you own, if you own one. Then, yeah, you don't just want to buy a home and move.
I agree, but Kobe says, we looked at a lot of houses. They're all livable, right? Emily says, no, they're not. So I don't know if she's actively or just subconsciously putting these speed bumps in the way, but it almost seems like they've seen some houses that are livable and probably nice homes. And Emily's just going to keep saying, no, it's not right. It's not perfect. It's not the dream home. When in reality, anyone who's bought a home or looked at a home knows there's really no dream home. There's always going to be something that's not perfect or something you need to upgrade, right? So she sounds like someone who's just putting these speed bumps in the way so that she actually doesn't have to buy a house and doesn't have to move out. Because Kobe says, they all look pretty good to me.
True. Well, I don't think Kobe is big on interior and exterior design and he's looking for the perfect home.
I don't think Emily is either.
I think she's looking for something she wants to be perfect for them and three kids and maybe distance to something. Like, I would probably be picky too if I was gonna spend all my savings on a house.
Yeah, but at some point you have to put your family first and realize, you know what, the aesthetics of the home are not really what's going to matter. What's going to matter is having a place to raise our three children in our own space.
True.
Outside of mommy and daddy. We're going to become adults and show our kids that we're adults.
True. Well, plus she's pregnant, so she's hormonal. She starts crying that no one's taking her side.
Ugh.
And she storms off.
Well, she stormed off there. She's like, okay, well, we'll buy a house tomorrow, whatever. Like, so immature, very immature.
And emotional. But Kobe stays behind and tells David and Lisa that, I agree with you, we'll get out. I promise you, we're not having the baby here. We'll be out.
Yeah. Emily was like, I thought the reveal was going to be great. I thought the reveal was going to be so nice. No, you didn't. You thought they were going to tell you to move out. You literally thought it was going to go how it went.
Well, and Lisa and David keep saying, we're happy about a baby, but you guys need to move out. You need to move out for yourselves. You need to move out for our own sanity. You can't just live here. Because if you have another baby here, you're just staying forever.
Yeah. There's also just probably no room. At some point, there's no room for everyone. And Lisa and David want to be grandparents. They don't want to be, they probably don't want to be living babysitters.
Correct.
So we know they bought a house, which is good for them.
Yeah.
Let's hear about it on the tell-all probably and see if it's the dream home that Emily was looking for.
Are you ready to go to the wild party for a six-month-old baby?
Yeah, this was a wild party, and it's also wild that Carlos is still MIA. Like, how hungover is he?
Maybe he already got sick.
Just like that? Maybe food poisoning? Like, what? It's been days now, I think.
Yeah. I don't know, but Alice is 6 months old, so they're throwing her a cool party with bartenders and food and cocktails, and it's in the, at night.
I almost thought, and they didn't say this, but maybe it's a wink and a nod, and they're not saying it to camera, but this almost seemed like a second wedding for Patrick and Thais, like a Brazilian wedding for that side of the family, just masqueraded, just being paraded around as Alicia's six-month birthday party.
Which is fun because it was the first time they came back to Brazil with the baby. So I think once you have a baby, it's all about the baby. So I think it would be silly if they celebrated their wedding if you can celebrate the baby and have it as a family party.
Yes, but 6 months old, like, I don't know.
Why not? There are people who do half birthdays. I don't get it, but you know why I don't get it? Because I have name days.
True. You already have two times a year to celebrate.
So do you.
I celebrate my name day.
It's funny. I was cleaning the other day.
Shocker.
Love cleaning. And you remember the photo album I gave you for our 1 year anniversary, wedding anniversary, like the wooden one that I made from scratch because it was COVID.
Yeah.
So I digged up photos from each month of the year and went from being wild to being wilder.
Yeah.
That was the year that I surprised you on your name day with that dinosaur dad dressed up and had him hold the sign.
You guys heard about that.
And the caption, the photo, said that you didn't talk to me for half the day.
Yeah, I was very rattled. That's not how you want to start your day.
And there is a photo of the dinosaur.
Maybe we'll put that on the Patreon. That was not a good morning.
I loved it.
Yeah. All right. Father Jose showed up. Carlos was under the weather, but Father Jose showed up. And he's like, why did you choose this venue? You could have chose my ranch. He's like, what the heck, Jose? Where were you when they were touring the ranch? There's reasons they didn't choose the ranch.
Because he wanted them to fix it before the party.
Yeah.
Well, for Patrick, this is going to be the time that he wants to talk to Jose about everything.
It got real.
It did.
It got real. Patrick started telling Jose how everyone's questioning the apartment, but he knows Jose needs it for income. And Jose's like, Thais needs to understand I'm your father.
Yeah, but Patrick says, well, I want you to understand the apartment was about bonding with you. I got it. That's when we became close. We're fixing the apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. And Patrick says, you know, you weren't always there, but the apartment did give us something to bond over. It was hard with you not being in my life. And Jose's like, well, I didn't have a father either. And I'm glad Patrick said that's not an excuse.
Like, yeah.
You probably should always try to be better than the previous generation. Even if the previous generation was amazing, I think you'd want to be even better. You always want to plus that family tree.
Yeah.
And so it's not an excuse.
And Jose tells the cameras and Patrick that he feels bad for not being there for him. And he says, well, Thais brought us back together.
Yeah.
So he does get very real.
Yeah. It was definitely emotional. And Jose ended up apologizing. I thought he wasn't. I thought he was just going to tell the camera, like, hey, I feel bad, but I'm glad he did tell Patrick.
Yeah, and Patrick said, let's keep the apartment, but no more 3 months rent in advance and stuff like that.
He's got some boundaries now.
Yeah, and Jose said, just talk to me when it comes to issues. And I think they had to have this conversation because before it was Jose thinking, oh, Patrick can just give me all that money. And Patrick was like, oh, I don't want to tell my dad otherwise, so I'll just do it.
Right.
Without them really talking. So this was great. Yeah. They hug, so much love. They cry. Patrick shares it with Thais. That's another beautiful moment.
Yeah. And then everyone started twerking. Classic 6-month-old birthday party.
Wild. But to finish an even happier ending, Thais acknowledged that it's great that John came. He helped them out a lot. They bonded. So this was all, like, altogether a happy ending. The only one we actually see on this season.
Yeah, except somebody check on Carlos, because that may have not been a happy ending. I don't know what happened to him.
Maybe just a diarrhea. Who knows?
I'm worried.
You can twerk with a diarrhea.
You cannot twerk with diarrhea.
I cannot twerk at all.
No, it's called the sprinkler.
Ew.
You do not want to do that. But I do. I'm worried about him. Where is he?
I think he's okay. I think he's fine.
All right. We'll see. We'll hear about it on the tell-all.
Someone who's not fine.
Ugh.
It's Gino and Jasmine, who does not want to give up the crown for anything and the sash, because she keeps wearing it.
Did you submit my paperwork? You've been watching me fill out the paperwork at home. Did you submit the paperwork, yes or no? This was classic Gino Jasmine.
Yes, and Gino's like, I haven't gotten to the other part, so I'm about at 80%.
I just got 80%. I still have 20% to do.
Which, first of all, let me tell you, and guys, we talked about it a million times, so you probably know it, but the first green card is hard. It's really hard because there is a lot of paperwork. Half of it you probably don't know or you're unsure of. So when John and I glanced at it, then we decided, oh, hell no, we got a lawyer. We did the second green card ourselves.
Yeah.
But we banged it out in one afternoon. We spent hours at Staples making copies. Maybe, let's say, 2 days. Like, the second day we double-checked everything. You don't spread this shit out because you're going to forget.
Yeah.
You can keep working on it for weeks because you're going to forget. You got to sit down and get it all done. And what you cannot get done that day, make a list and get it done when you can. Him saying, I am working on it, but I've been taking time because it's summer in Michigan and I wanted Jasmine to enjoy it, I call bullshit.
Oh, I completely call bullshit. Gino literally quit his job. He has nothing to do. The one thing he can do is finish the paperwork.
Plus, again, I'm pretty sure he doesn't know a lot of that stuff and he's trying to Google and find out and he gives up always and steps away.
Masturbates probably.
Probably.
He's on the computer. He's got the internet. You got some porn.
But again, if you make one tiny mistake, and I have made mistakes when I applied for, let's say, for my student visa, I forgot to put down my phone number. They rejected it and I had to resubmit and it pushed my case back by 5 months.
Yeah.
It's real. You forget a tiny, tiny detail or something's incorrect, you're going to be waiting for it for a long time. And even if you get it correct, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Like, this is all dumb that he doesn't want to get a lawyer to look at it.
Yeah, get the lawyer. Jasmine ends up leaving, goes back to the hotel. She confronts Gino once again. And she's like, I'm going to ask you this one more time. Why are you doing this to me? Why did you bring me to this country where I have nobody here and then deny me of my basic right to have permanent residence? And Gino's just like, what the heck? I'm 80%. What don't you understand about 80%?
Yeah, so Jasmine curses him off and she storms out of the hotel room with her crown and her sash and her bouquet.
Yeah, and Gino just is clueless. He doesn't understand what's the deal with the paperwork. Why do you want it so badly? And Jasmine's reason is, okay, I can understand it, but it's not totally legit.
Well, I think I'm a little behind you on the story because she stormed off and she came back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got in this confrontation about why you're denying me my right.
Yeah.
Gino's like, why do you want it so bad? And she says, because I want to see my children. Okay. Well, you can go see your children. You just need to file the advance parole.
Yeah,
form.
You have to do the advance parole, which again, he would need to do because she doesn't know how. I don't think she even knows it exists. And he didn't say it.
And that's my point, is I get it. And it's a good reason. I want to go see my kids. You don't need your green card for that.
Mm-mm.
You just need to file a different form.
Yeah. And the advance parole, if approved, it's quick.
Yeah. Well, that's the point of it. It's like, oh, something happens. There's a family emergency. Yeah. You file the parole. You can pop over there and go take care of it. So I understand where she's coming from, but it doesn't seem like she's done her research either. There are ways for her to go see her kids.
And for her, when he said, well, you can go, in her mind, he's saying, oh, go back to Panama because you won't be able to come back.
He may have been saying that, thinking that. And he's just like, yeah, you go. And she's like, no, you go. And classic Gino Jasmine bickering argument. She ends up leaving and says, have a good night. Enjoy your porn.
Yes. And she gets a new hotel room on his credit card. So.
Yes. All right. I really do think they called it. I can't imagine they're still together.
Yeah, after all this, I don't think they should be.
No. All right. Couple more couples. Quick little storylines here. One couple I am just completely over. I was over it 18 episodes ago, and I'm very over it now. Ashley Manuel.
Yeah.
But we get to the bottom of where this money went, and it is no bueno.
Yeah, he needs to stop lying to her. I mean, seriously.
He needs to stop lying to her, and he needs to stop being a douche. Like,
yeah.
There's so many levels to this shit where it's like, okay, what he says is bad, how he acts is bad, how they act together is bad. But it's like, you add it all together, and it's just so toxic. It's so frustrating. It's so disgusting.
And now, on top of all that, he's drunk from all the whiskey he tasted.
Yeah, and that's just like top level douchebaggery, the way he's acting. It's like, yeah. Not only did you fuck her over and basically steal from her, but now you're giving the middle finger to her and it's like, yeah, who cares? I do what I want.
Yeah, because Ashley keeps asking Manuel, where is the money? And he's like, cheers, happy birthday to me.
Yeah, she's like, where the hell is the money? And he's like, it's gone. I spent it. It's not in the bank. I spent it on other things. I have debts. I paid my bills.
Yeah, so apparently he used it to pay his own debt in Ecuador while he keeps telling Ashley that, oh, she has a lot of debt because of her school loans and she keeps spending money on coffee and stuff. And he used her money that she could use towards her own debt on his own, and he didn't tell her. Now, he lied to her saying, it's in my savings account for our future.
And that's the big crime here. They're married. His debt is her debt and vice versa. But the issue is the lying and the putting her down and making her feel like shit for having debt when he has debts and he's taking their money behind her back and paying down his debt so he feels like this hero. That's the real issue. It's not, okay, I have debt or you have debt. You all have debt. It's yours to deal with, but be open and honest and transparent about it. And have some respect. Like, if you're going to use her money, have some respect about it. Be thankful. Be grateful. So Ashley's like, I don't know if I can be in this relationship anymore. Let me save you some time, Ashley. You can't be. You shouldn't be. You guys need to break up and hopefully you learned your lesson and be done with him.
Well, I don't think it's going to be that easy because Manuel storms off, but Ashley follows him.
Even though people with penises are assholes.
Apparently.
I mean, don't have this conversation when you've done a whiskey tasting.
Yeah.
You sober up. Yeah, have a real conversation about it.
Yeah, because they talk outside and Manuel feels like he would be better off home. Like, he should probably go back to Ecuador.
Which is easy for him to say now that he's paid off his bills.
Yeah.
Right? He got what he wanted. I really don't think he ever wanted a long-term relationship with Ashley. He got in. He got his money. Now he's like, yeah, it's time to get out.
Yeah. Like, it seems like he maybe expected a comfortable life where Ashley's going to pay for everything. Then he learned that, oh, she has her own issues and she spends money on coffee and other things, which... by all means, if she makes the money, it's her own money. She can spend the money however she wants.
Yeah, you clearly didn't spend your money properly because you have debts.
Yeah. So this relationship is doomed.
Yeah, you're not a master with the money either because you clearly racked up a lot of debt.
He's master with someone else's money.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, one more?
One more, which is like, ugh, okay.
I know, we heard the fat transfer didn't stick.
Yeah, it's Lauren and Alexi. They're hanging out with their friends, which Alexi organized this, hoping that their friends can talk some sense into Lauren to prevent her from another surgery.
Yeah, it's a little celebration of recovery, but also an intervention.
It is. And again, I don't want to take away from what she said, that she has body dysmorphia. Like, it's a serious issue that a lot of people, a lot of women have. Like, I also see myself a little differently often than, let's say, John sees me. It's a real deal, right? But you're also a mom of three kids. You just did this wild thing. You look great. Just enjoy it before you even dump this bombshell on everyone and you're unhappy once again, because that really means that it wasn't about the way you look anymore. There's some deeper issues.
Well, there are, of course, and body dysmorphia, as you said, is a real issue. But as a mother of three, I think take some other steps to deal with it. As one of the friends suggests, like, oh, have you not even talked to somebody about it? Have you not met with a therapist? Because body dysmorphia, by nature, is not about the body. It's about the dysmorphia. And it's a mental. No matter how many fat transfers you get, I don't think you're going to be happy. And the more times you go under the knife, the more you're putting yourself at risk and your kids at risk of becoming motherless.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think you need to get to the root cause of this. Maybe see a therapist.
Yeah. Again, I support what she did. She has three kids. She wanted to spruce up her body. Why not? But let's say you do want to have a bigger boobs. All right, but sit on it a little bit. Enjoy your new body. Don't bring it up the same day that you recover that you want more fat in your boobs.
But that's the sign that it is a mental illness and not just a vanity project.
Yeah.
Because I think if someone was just doing it out of vanity, they would know, I should probably wait a couple months to talk about this.
Yeah.
I think she's really got some inner demons she's struggling with.
Yeah.
And that's why she's vocalizing it. Hopefully, Alexi is going to talk some sense into her or her friends or her family or a therapist, because she does. She looks fantastic. She looked great before.
Yeah. Again, if she wanted to do it, sure, she did it. And she pulls Alexi on the side and tells him that she does want the fat transfer, that she's not happy. And Alexi makes a great point, because he says everyone has issues. He's like, I don't like my hair. I don't like my face. Who cares? Like, we have kids. We have other things to focus on. You look great.
Yeah, and that's probably what I would remind myself if I was in her shoes. Again, I don't think I have body dysmorphia, but you're married. You have a guy who loves you. You have three kids who love you. I get that maybe you don't love yourself the way you look, but taking the love from everyone else around you and go, okay, I got a pretty good life here. What is bigger boobies going to do for me when I've already secured the love of my life in Alexi and I already have three kids who love me? Like, are you going to love yourself more if you have a little bit of a bigger boobie?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, I could use bigger boobs.
I know, but I love your boobs the way they are.
But I can use a little fast transfer somewhere.
But then I sit here and I go, well, who are you trying to impress? If the guy you're married to, and in Lauren's case, the kids love you, where are you looking to get with bigger boobs?
Just, you would feel more comfortable.
But if I'm telling you, and Alexi's telling her, hey, I can't imagine anything better than what I already have, then who are you doing it for? I know you're doing it for yourself. I know you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
But you're doing it for yourself because you think others are looking at you going like, oh, she should have this or she should have that. You locked yourself in a room for the rest of your life, if some nuclear bomb went off and wiped out the world.
Jeez, knock it.
Knock it. And you were the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
You would not be getting bigger boobs. So it's not about you. It's about how other people perceive you. And who's more important than myself, or in Lauren's case, Alexi and the kids? You're looking for approval from others if you're trying to get bigger boobs, because we're all sitting here saying, hey, the boobs look great to us.
I just think if I had bigger boobs, my little stubborn belly fat would look smaller.
I know, but my point is... you shouldn't care about that. You shouldn't.
Of course I should. I think a lot of women, whether they admit it or not, care about the way they look. I am not planning on having any fat transfer anytime soon. I'll tell you that.
All right.
But I might wake up one day and tell you that I'm transferring some fat.
All right.
And yeah, I would hope that you would support me too.
We'll talk about it when the time comes.
When the time comes.
All right. Well, the time has come for us to wrap up this episode.
All right.
Whew, I think next time we'll be talking about the tell-all.
I can't wait. I hope it's like five parts.
We love talking tell-all.
Do you know how many parts?
I don't know how many parts.
At least three. Give me at least three.
I don't know what's coming after. What would come after? We have The Other Way popping on Mondays. We're just wrapping up Happily Ever After. Would it be
OG?
It could be an OG. It could be a Last Resort.
A Last Resort is short. They need a long one. This is a two banger.
It would just have to be OG then.
I'm here for a new OG, new stories.
Love OG. All right. Well, we'll find out when we find out.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to hear our thoughts on The Other Way, we're talking about it on Patreon and Supercast. Patreon.com/MeredithReality, MeredithReality.Supercast.com. Having a blast talking about it over there. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram at MeredithRealityPod so you can chat with us there, share your thoughts. What are you thinking of this season? What are you thinking about The Other Way? Talk to us. We want to know what you guys are thinking and feeling. Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as the beautiful review from our friend
Blue Magic.
Thank you, Blue Magic. I love your review. I love all the reviews, but this one was special. Made my week.
Absolutely. Thank you. You said all the right things, Blue Magic.
All the right things to keep us going.
Working your Blue Magic over there, saying all the right things. So thank you. That is it. Be like Blue Magic. If you haven't left the review, please do. Please do. We love the love. All right. That is it. I've said it all. Sure have. Means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.